Matthew chapter 10, verse number 8. Praise God, I am free. Amen. I remember the day I was in bondage and somebody told me that I could be saved. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the day He freed me. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, or chapter number 10, verse number 8. One verse of text tonight, and we'll look at several other texts as we look at this idea. This morning we talked about the hedge. And we talked about the hedge in Job's life, and we talked about how Satan accused Job of accused God of having a hedge around Job, and accused Job to God, saying the only reason he really serves you is because you bless him, and if you just stop blessing him and just take that hedge down, then he'd curse you to your face. And praise God, Job passed the test. Amen? He did. And thank God for that. But the Bible says here in our text in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing for God to lift the hedge. It's another thing for you to break it down on your own. There's a difference. Amen? There's a difference. The word hedge is found in the Old Testament. It's translated from two Hebrew words that are found. It's found four times as the word pronounced. It's pronounced suk. It means to make an hedge, a hedge or fence. Or the word gader, 12 times, wall, hedge or fence. It meant a protective fence or wall. It keeps the good in and the bad out. As we saw this morning, as soon as God chose to pull down the hedge, Satan had his way with Job. Some of the older saints may remember the cliche, good fences make good neighbors. Amen. I need to actually finish up. We got just about a half a fence, and I need a few poles stuck in so that we can keep our kids safe so they won't run out into the road. You see, a hedge is an important thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's an important thing. And as we spoke about this morning, thank God for the hedge in our lives that God has about our being and our buildings and our belongings. More and more we hear the words breaking down barriers. And can I say, in some cases, this is a good thing. You know, when Jackie Robinson came into Major League Baseball in 1947, he broke the color barrier, and that was a good thing. That was a good thing. You know, sports ought to be the great equalizer. It ought to be the best people on the field, and that's it. Doesn't matter what their skin color is. Amen? And so that was a good thing. When I think of breaking down barriers in a good way, I think of NASA. It broke down the barrier of gravity, amen, and the sound barrier, and then went to the moon and back. Imagine such a thing. When I think of breaking down barriers in a good way, I think of the Berlin Wall coming down, amen. When it came down 20 years ago. Why? Because that was a barrier to freedom and liberty. Listen, if you lived on the right side of the wall, if you lived on the west part, praise the Lord, you had freedom and liberty. But if you had on that, you lived on that east part, when you tried to get over the wall, you were shot. Because they didn't want anybody to have liberty. And by the way, communism isn't dead, ladies and gentlemen. It's just sleeping a little bit. It's still out there. And not a message on communism, but it's flat out against the Word of God. The Word of God is for liberty and communism is not. Amen. Let's all just get together and have peace. That's what the communist says. What they mean is a piece of this and a piece of that and a piece of this. They're not interested in the kind of peace that you and I want. But when I think of breaking down barriers in the negative, I think of the barrier of decency that Hugh Hefner broke down in the 50s with a magazine called Playboy, and how it has literally wrecked our society. He said that was his goal, to break down barriers. And certainly he has met that goal, and is certainly an hot end is waiting for Mr. Hefner if he does not get saved. When I think of the 60s, some of you lived through the 60s, and you know that the 60s, the barrier of restraint was broken down. It was just, let's have free love and let's just use drugs and let's just do whatever we want to do. And it's coming back. Amen. The chickens are coming home to roost now, 40 and 50 years later.
When I think of the barrier of morality being broken down, I think of a little case called Roe versus Wade. One case where they twisted the 14th Amendment. And you can read the 14th Amendment, you can read it from now until doomsday, and it will never guarantee the right to an abortion. But what happened? Now, quote-unquote doctors will birth a baby all the way to the head and puncture the back of the skull and take a vacuum and take the brain out, because that's what it is, the brain. Take the brain out and take that baby out and put it on a cold table. You listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The barrier of morality was broken down that day. It was broken down. When I think of the barrier of deity, and I'm thankful for God's barriers. Amen. We're going to talk about some of them tonight. But you know, modern science is breaking down the barrier of deity. Forever and a day, go back to Genesis 3. You listen, the one time Satan was right when he said, "Ye shall be as gods." Doesn't everybody want to be their own God? And the modern science that's literally trying to take life and clone it and pervert what God has given, they're breaking down, they're playing God. They're playing God. And it's wrong, amen. God says here in His Word, "Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." And this verse warns that when a person breaks down a hedge or a wall or a barrier that God has placed, he will be snake bitten by the snake of snakes, Satan himself. I want to look tonight, if we could, at some hedges that God has for us. The serpent, I believe, in Ecclesiastes 10:8 is the serpent of Genesis 3:1. The serpent that was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. That same serpent in Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent which is called the devil." In Revelation 22 it says, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan." Today we're going to look at some of God's hedges that if we break down, we will be snake bitten. And listen, sometimes snake bites are treatable. Sometimes they're fatal. So you know what the best thing to do is? Not play with snakes. You know what the best thing to do is? Not break down hedges that God put there for us. How about the first hedge that I believe God gives us? God gives us the hedge. Go over to Ephesians, if you would, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll run the scriptures tonight. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. All God's people said. You may want to mark these verses, underline these verses. Ephesians chapter 1. The first hedge I believe that God gives us, and they're in no particular order, I believe that the first hedge that God gives us is the Holy Spirit of God. You listen to me, if you're saved, if you have truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether you feel saved or not, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. And He is a hedge from God. He's a hedge. Look at chapter 1, verse number 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." That's what happens first. Here's the order. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." Okay, we heard the word of God, we trusted the gospel of your salvation. "In whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Down just a page, chapter 4, verse number 30 of Ephesians. Look what it says. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Listen to me. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." You say, "Pastor, what do you mean by the Holy Spirit?" Listen, I simply mean what the Bible describes as the third person of the Trinity dwells inside of you. If you're saved, you say, "Pastor, do I always feel Him? Do I get cold chills going up my neck?" No, 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 no. You're thinking charismatic, amen? He's there. He's that soft, still, small voice that says, "Don't. Don't. He's that soft, still, small voice that says, witness, hand out that tract. He's that small, still voice, aren't you glad? Amen, church. He's that small, still voice that says, when the preacher's preaching the Bible, says, that's right. Aren't you glad? He says, you're doing wrong. I'm glad for that, amen. I'm glad, by the way, the best evidence you have that you're saved is that the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sin. You say, well, I never get convicted. Well, either you're perfect, or the alternative might be true, too. Maybe you're not saved. If you never get convicted of sin, well, I've gotten to sinless perfection. No such thing this side of heaven. No such thing. The first hedge that God gives us is the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm so glad He lives inside me. Can I say this? I know I've grieved Him. I know I have. I know I've quenched Him, Pastor John. I know He said do and I didn't. But I'm so glad that the Bible says here that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know what that means? You can't leave the Holy Spirit anywhere. He goes where you go. He listens to what you listen to. He watches what you walk. He walks where you walk. He's with you all the time. And He is a hedge. Don't break Him down. Don't. He's the Holy Spirit of God. Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a second hedge. Go over to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter number 19. Good to hear those pages turning. As long as they don't turn too long. Got to get you cheater tabs if they turn too long. Amen. Psalm chapter number 19. Look at verse number 7. Our second hedge. Not only the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. The second hedge that God gives to us are the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. Not only the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Scriptures. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it was D.L. Moody that said it, and it's been cliche over Christianity, but it is so true. Listen, sin will either keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. You see, it's a hedge, ladies and gentlemen. If you're bent on reading this book and obeying and doing what it says, it will keep you from harm. It will keep you from evil. Thank God for it. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse number 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you keep your nose in this book, and you and sin won't be friends for very long. Amen. Amen. The reason why we cozy up to sin, the reason why we do is we break down the hedge of the Holy Scriptures in our life. We break down the hedge of daily Bible reading. We break down the hedge of its authority in our lives. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we serve a good God. And you know what He says? You don't serve me because you have to. You serve me because you want to. That's our God. Our God does not make anybody serve Him. He does not make anybody. But He does simply say this, hey, whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. I'd rather have the hedge than the snake bite. I'd rather be in this book every day and just determined to obey what it says than get that snake bite. Because I've seen people that have fallen out of church. I've seen people that have fallen out of church, literally just kind of slipped out. And the next thing you know, their lives are ruined. Why? Because they broke down the hedge of the Holy Scriptures. And you take them back and they say, I never meant to end up drunk, or I never ended up to mean to cheat on my wife. What happened, Pastor? And it almost always comes down to this, Pastor John. When did you leave off reading your Bible? When did you leave off walking with God every day in the Word of God? You see, ladies and gentlemen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us. What's a hedge that God gives us? God gives us the sweet Holy Spirit of God, doesn't He? Praise the Lord. He gives us the Holy Scriptures as an hedge. Something else He gives us. Go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18. Look at verse number 19, if you would, of Genesis chapter 18. Just before Abraham pleads for Lot and for Sodom. By the way, it's a great example of intercessory prayer, because God didn't destroy Sodom until the angels took Lot out. Amen. And maybe your prayers that are holding back a flood of judgment on somebody. Amen. Like Abraham here. But verse 19 talks about Abraham, and it says this, what a great testimony from God Himself. It says, for I know Him, that He will command His children and His household after Him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which He has spoken unto him. What's the third hedge, Pastor? We have the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. What's the third hedge? The home. The home. The home. The Christian home. The home where God is honored. The home which is a haven. I was talking to Pastor John and Melissa today after everybody had kind of cleared out and they were getting ready to walk over. And it was a long walk. Amen. I saw you guys walking. Bless your heart. Mrs. Loggins had trouble with the sciatica. But as they went out, the kids kind of snuck out, amen, and they walked across, and there they were. They were holding hands, and they were taking their time, and I think Hunter was walking with Tag and taking his time. And I said, isn't that a blessing? I said, my goodness, your kids really love each other. I said, now listen, all families fight. Listen, if you have brothers and you don't fight, I worry about you, amen? Yeah, I'm worried about that. A friend of mine said when they were kids, they had three brothers. Their father, well, just got so sick of them fighting all the time, he just bought them boxing gloves. Amen. Said, all right, next time you want to fight, let's go. I'm going to ref and you guys go ahead and have at it. Amen. I said, but man, they love each other. And Mrs. Loggins said to me, she said, Pastor, people always ask us, what do you do? What do you do? What is so different? What is so special? She said, honestly, I don't know. We just try to live for God. We just try to, you know, teach our kids right and wrong and read the Bible and pray and come to church and just try to lead. Hey, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, mom and dad, your house, your home, it ought to be a haven from the world for your children. Listen, I know some of you young people go to the public school. You ought to be able to come home, and there ought to be a difference at home than there was at the public school. It ought to be a place, listen, where God is honored and sin is kicked out. Amen. It ought to be the home, the Christian home. The home where God is honored. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's a haven. That's a hedge. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 27, neither give place to the devil. And I think what happens is when we let sin into our homes, the devil takes his rubber salesman foot and puts it in the front door. And the next thing you know, you can't close the door because there's a foot in there. And the next thing you know, it's not just a foot, it's a leg. And the next thing you know, the devil's in your home. So what do we got to do? We got to kick him out. Amen. We got to kick him out. Amen. Things that offend God need to just go out of our homes. They're just not welcome. Amen. Not welcome in our home. Why? Because it's a hedge that God has placed for your children. Wonderful hedge. I think of the Bittingers, the first time I ever went over there, and I was in their home, and Mrs. Bittinger said, don't come in, it's messy, amen. I said, it's all right, amen. We're just visiting, amen. And I saw these wonderful kids that love their mom and dad, and I thought, well, this place is a hedge. This place is fenced in from the devil, amen. Thank God for the hedge of the happy home. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures. Go to chapter number 10 of Hebrews, the fourth hedge. Hebrews chapter number 10, familiar verses, verses 24 and 25. By the way, there's a great study from chapter 10, verses 22, 23, 24. There's, let us draw near, verse 23. Let us hold fast, verse 24. Let us consider one another. It's a good sermon there. The Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You say, what's the fourth hedge, Pastor? The house of God. The house of God. The house of God. Oh, listen, the right kind of church, amen, where the Word of God is preached. Without compromise, amen. Where there are standards, yes, but where sinners can come in and come to the hospital, amen. The house of God is a hedge. It's a hedge that God has set up against the devil. And listen, the devil wants to get in this place any way he can. And God help us, we're on guard, amen. We're watching, amen. We're studying the book of Jude on Wednesday nights about apostasy, about how some men crept in unawares. They looked like us, and they smelled like us, and they talked like us, but they weren't us, amen. There's vigilance there. Why? Because the house of God is a hedge. Listen, I need you here. I'm preaching to the choir. This is the Sunday night crowd. You're here because you want to be here, no doubt about it. I need you here. You know what? We need each other. We need each other. We're a body, ladies and gentlemen. We're a body. And we've got to have fellowship one with another. We've got to. Why? Because God has deemed that in this age, the church age, that the church, the house of God, be a hedge against the devil. It's a hedge. It's a hedge for your children, parents. Say amen, parents. It's a hedge for your children. You want them to learn the Bible. You want them to learn what it is to be saved. And Pastor John and Mr. Caleb have been teaching in baptism. And praise the Lord, we've had several children baptized through that. Why? Because they were here and they heard and they learned. Why? All because they attended. They came. They came. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've never known anybody to say, well, I just had too much church. It's just too much. I mean, just too much preaching of the Word of God, too much getting right with God, too much prayer. It's just too much. Well, the Bible says here, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more. Why? Because it's a hedge. We have the home, the house of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures. You're in Hebrews. Turn over to chapter 13. I'll not dwell long on this point, but it's in there. Chapter 13, verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The fifth hedge that God gives us, I believe, is honorable men of God. Honorable men of God. That preach the Word of God, not for unjust gain, not greedy of filthy lucre, but simply because they watch for your souls. Honorable men of God. I'm thinking of two young ladies that I had the privilege to influence. I married one of them last week. Married her and her young fiancé, and what a privilege it was. But I remember Brother Boston when she was on the verge of heading the wrong way. And I took the time to write her a 12-page letter. Amen? Because I don't care about her. No, because, you know, I'm just a tyrant. I was just a dictator in her life. I was her youth pastor. She thought it was my job to boss her around. It wasn't it at all. I watched for her soul. I could see she was heading the wrong direction. And as a man of God, I thought it was my place to tell her, you're heading down the wrong road. She has a sweet sister, loves God. Same thing, heading down the wrong road. She said she had this boyfriend, and listen up, parents. She had this boyfriend, and he loved her, and he wanted to show her how much he loved her. And I said, get away from him as quickly as possible. And she said, but Pastor Rich, he says nice things to me. And I said, there's a reason why he's saying nice things to you. Help me, parents. There's a reason why. And I said, if you don't listen to me, you're a fool. She went like this. She said, Pastor, I've never been talked to like this in my life. I said, well, you can look at it as a refreshingly novel experience then. Because you are a fool if you go back to him. Wrote her a 10-page letter. Wrote her father a 10-page letter. Praise God, I'm glad they listened, but a lot of people don't. Listen, you ought to listen to honorable men of God in your life. You ought to listen. I promise you, I don't do it for the paycheck. I promise you. I don't. I just never have. Praise God, all those years I enjoyed working. I worked a job and was a full-time associate pastor, all that. Now again, I'm glad to be able to get a salary and all the things that go along with it. But listen, you owe it to honorable men of God to listen to their counsel. They're a hedge in your life. They're a hedge. I promise you. Several hedges tonight. Honorable men of God, the house of God, a happy home, Holy Scriptures, Holy Spirit. I want you to go to Isaiah 53. I want you to look at the greatest hedge tonight. Isaiah chapter number 53. I think I have read Isaiah chapter 53 more than any other chapter of the Bible, probably besides Genesis. Isaiah chapter 53, look at verse number 4 if you would. Look what it says there. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The sixth and last hedge tonight is the hedge of a horrific crucifixion. A horrific crucifixion. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? What is that a hedge for? That's a hedge to keep you out of hell. That's a hedge that God put up to keep you out of a devil's hell. And listen to me, don't take the Catholic word for it on the crucifixion with two little drops of blood and a little dot here. No. Read back in Isaiah 52 verse 14. It says his visage was so marred that he didn't even look like a man. He was beaten to a pulp. He was scourged. He was nailed to that cross as a hedge for you against hell. Thank God for the hedge of the horrific crucifixion. See, ladies and gentlemen, God puts hedges up in our life. Whenever I meet somebody and they tell me, they say, Pastor, I'm having trouble with a particular sin. Let's just use drink as an example. They say, Pastor, I'm having trouble with drink. I came and I got saved, but I kind of keep going back to drink. And the first thing I do is check them out, make sure they're really saved. Amen. By the way, you can be saved in sin. I'm a saved sinner. Still sin, but there are certain things that give us more trouble than others. And this person will say, Pastor, I'm having trouble with drink. What should I do? And I'll say, you need to put up some hedges in your life. You need to decide I'll never, never go to the liquor store. That's a hedge. You just built a hedge in your life. You need to decide I will never, never enter the doors of a bar. That's a hedge. I said, let me give you another hedge. You need to stay away from the aisle in the grocery store where they sell that hell water. And you need to make sure that you never have any in your refrigerator. You say, what are you just doing? Building hedges. Making it hard to sin. You know what God here with these six things does? He makes it hard to sin. But some people are bent on breaking down the hedges that God has set up. And again, you may get by with it. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. You may just get a minor snake bite, but why would you want one to begin with? Why would you not want to live in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ? I have no idea. I have no idea. But I know that we are corrupt, we are depraved, we're sinful, and if we don't feed the Spirit, we'll break down God's hedges. Hedges. God's hedges in our life. Are you breaking them down tonight? Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Maybe you are and your parents don't know anything about it. God knows. Holy Spirit of God inside you, that first hedge, He knows. Maybe you need, as Mrs. Harmon mentioned this morning, she said, pray for teenagers, not just our teenagers here, but teenagers. Many of you grandparents, you need to pray a hedge around your teenagers. Pray for it. Let's bow our heads.